Good evening, God bless you, everybody. Welcome and greetings from Kansas City. We're a little bit north of Vicki and Barney, and just thankful for this night. I thought I'd open with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy and just how good you are, Father. And it is great that you're a Father that takes care of your kids. You want us to prosper and be in health above all things. Just so thankful for everything you've done over the ages, thousands of years to put your plan in place and that you could have a wonderful family that can praise you perfectly. So thank you for this night, for the greatness of your word, for every heart online tonight. And even those that aren't, just pray for each and every one of them for great health and healing if they need it. In the name of Jesus Christ. So tonight, I wanted to share one of the titles is Helpers of Our Joy. And I kind of start out, if you will, about four weeks ago, sitting at the TV and ears glued to the news reports about our downed pilot that got shot down over Iran, and we had everybody and their brother out looking for him, and it was just the news was trickling in. But during one of those news reports, the anchor was saying, talking about the fighter pilot, and she referred to him as a national asset. And I just got to thinking that that's kind of an interesting term, and not that that occurs in the Bible, but the concept of being a national asset kind of just struck me. And so I started thinking about it, and you know, we are God's assets, if you will. We're his family. And what I wanted to just focus on tonight was what it took, or just to think back what took God to get us, and think of it as you. What did it take God to get you to this point in your walk and to be, quote unquote, a national asset or a wonderful believer, son or daughter of God? And I just started thinking about that, and it just kind of blessed me, because you think back to the first word that really pricked your heart to think about God, and then later more conversations and encounters with and about God, and some of these encounters might have even been miracles and healings. Certainly just the greatness of the Word of God pounding away at our hearts. And you just scratch your head, at least I do, and kind of just ask myself, how did I get to be a living epistle by the Spirit of the living God? You know, it just befuddles me. Just I can't hardly get my arms around what it took God to get us there to this point. So I just thought I'd go through the Word of God and just kind of point out some scriptures that came to mind. And some are just kind of God's vision for us and just kind of sparked my thinking even more. And some are some of the attributes of people that were part of this journey that we're all on. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, and I'm going to read from the King James Version all tonight. So, the 2 Corinthians 3:3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, not written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. It just, I don't know, I have a hard time thinking of myself, I'm an epistle of Christ, and it's written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And we are epistles of Christ, and people see us and by our walk and our love that we manifest, then they see Christ. And but think about it. We started out at one point not even knowing who Christ was or anything about the Word of God, and it's just amazing to me. And so how and when did we start this journey? And so you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, God had a plan. Vicki, you'll be blessed. I'm starting out here in Ephesians 2, verse 4, and we can all say it, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love worth, he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And this, if that doesn't say it all, I don't know what does. But that's our start. And again, just God's love, his grace, and his really intense desire to have a family. And we get to be that family and have all these great things, our identification with Christ, our all the sonship rights, the spiritual armor that we have, a purpose in life. It's just crazy. So that was God's part. And then, of course, Jesus Christ had his part too in verses 13 through 18, Ephesians 2, verses 13 through 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. In verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Again, I mean, that doesn't say it all. I don't know what will, but I just wanted to paint the picture of the journey and how we got to be, I hate to use the word national asset, but we are definitely God's assets and his chosen gems. I like that better. So, but you think about, so God has his plan and Jesus Christ executed the plan, and then what? So then we have the master builders, Paul, at least in the New Testament, Paul and the apostles and you keep going on through time, but if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, I'm thinking here in general terms of people in our lives even, not necessarily Apostle Paul, but people in our lives that spoke that first word that pricked your heart and then had more ongoing conversations, what we call under-shepherding. And it might have been one person, it might have been 10,000, I don't know. But one of the attributes is in Ephesians 4, verse 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And that's more of the plan, but we all end up doing that at one point in time. And somebody had to do that for you, speaking the truth in love. And and hanging in there. And there's, it was just wasn't for some random purpose, but it was to fitly join the body together. And it's an ongoing process, of course, but and that's really, I'm glad I brought that point up. It is an ongoing process. It's not just the first word, it's all the words, all the encounters and miracles and signs and wonders that God has gracefully and mercifully crafted for us to bless our lives individually. And so I was reading this seminar that Kim put together, Kim Petty, Building the Church of God, a Scriptural Blueprint for Growth. And this thing kind of just rung home on this topic of helpers of our joy. And I'm reading from this seminar syllabus. I hope it's all right, Darlene. Page 48. And he's talking about a scripture, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. And the backdrop is they're rebuilding the temple way back when. The first one got trashed and then by the Babylonians, and then they got to rebuild it, and this is the rebuilding part. And so I'll read the verse. You don't have to go there, but the verse says, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? And Ken says, as we've seen, the temple built by Zerubbabel was nothing compared to the magnificent temple of Solomon. Those who had seen that temple wept when they saw the foundation being laid for the new building. But Zechariah told them not to despise the day of small things. Others translated the day of small beginnings. Remember that Haggai prophesied that the later glory of the house of God would be greater than the former glory. And this is the point right here that I think is so cool. This is a great lesson for us today. Every great journey begins with a single step forward. With almost every great accomplishment, the beginning is hardly noticed. Where one starts is not nearly as important as the vision he carries with him. A powerful movement of God's word begins with one or more individuals believing that God will bring it to pass. And I just thought that that's kind of cool, and just thinking of our journey, it's no small beginnings. It's huge. It's taking that first step. And it may have been somebody taking their first step in witnessing the Word of God to you. And so these journeys start. And I just think it's cool that, and a great blessing that God is working in our hearts. And we'll see here that it is all by God's grace. And we all are on these little journeys or big journeys, but it's not the day of small things. It's a big deal in God's eyes. So more along the lines of attributes of a wise master builder, and again, I'm not referring to all of us as wise master builders, but there's only, I think Paul refers to himself that way, but I think you could say it. When we're speaking God's word and endeavoring to move God's word, that's pretty wise, and that's building. So, but one of the primary attributes is recognizing it all happens by God's grace. Ken, last Tuesday night, Ken was talking about a testimony. It was our Identification with Christ seminar, and he opened with a testimony from the missionary Hudson Taylor. And this is back in the mid-1800s, no airplanes, barely had sailing ships. And God put it on his heart to go to China and move the word, and he certainly did. I mean, thousands of people won for Christ, and along with him, a whole bunch of other people throughout the years. And that's just all by grace. It's like they pretty much dropped everything and went over there to witness God's word. And Hudson Taylor really did a phenomenal job in basically moving the word when a lot of other missionaries were kind of treading water a little bit. But another thing that blessed me on Tuesday night was Vicki Barnhart's manifestation. And I know, Vicki, you're just getting through your procedure, and it's uncomfortable, but bless your heart. You know, you manifested, and those are one of those things that just, to me, it's just part of the building, being a wise master builder. You believe God, you bring forth the manifestation to bless the body of Christ, and that's what it's all about. So, our 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Again, can you believe we are ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery? I mean, you walk back, 20, 30 years, and maybe we didn't know our, what from a hole in the ground. And here we are, ministering for Christ in his place, and we're stewards of the mysteries. And who taught us about the mysteries? So these are all, I'm just kind of reflecting back to the early parts, at least my journey, that I'm just amazed at what it took God and what he had to do to work in people's hearts that were in my pathway to share the word of God, to minister to me, to under-shepherd me. There's just so much, you can't hardly remember, but there's a lot of them that do stick out, but still, it's just mind-boggling to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is another section that it's Paul talking, and I'll just read it. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9-11. For I am the least of the apostles, then I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. And just, he dropped the ball, and we all dropped the ball spiritually, but we hang in there, and it's a journey. It's never going to be perfect, for sure. So I'm going to move forward here. So we were listening on the day of Pentecost. We pulled out, Marianne and I pulled out an old ministry tape Dr. Wirwell did on the day of Pentecost back in 1977, and this verse in, or the verses in Mark 4 is what he used. I thought it was pretty striking that it just says a lot to me. Mark chapter 4, verse 14, and we'll be reading through 26. So the sower soweth the word, and I'm gonna skip some verses. So, I'll let you know. So in verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Verse 21, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not shall, from him shall be taken. even that which he hath. And in verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast a seed into the ground, in verse 27, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. And that just hit me. We just don't know how God's working in people's hearts, but we still are sowing the seed and making sure our candle is out on the candlestick to the best of our ability. And then in verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in a sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said in verse 30, whereunto shall he liken the kingdom of God? With what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, in verse 31, which, when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And it just, like I said, we just don't know how God works in people's hearts. And it just, when we sow and speak God's word in love, you know, God's going to multiply that out there. But again, I'm just thinking back and reflecting back, who was the helper of my joy back in the day? And I'm just so blessed to think back. And it just keeps on going, too. It never stops. So one of the last verses here, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And Ken teaches us as part of the identification with Christ. But what I think about this verse is that as a steward of the mystery and minister of Christ, we kind of polish the mirror. That's that glass with open face, beholding as in a glass, the mirror, the glory of the Lord. And people come along my life and kind of polish the mirror, like in you just took a shower and the mirror's all fogged up. You take a towel and you kind of wipe out a little bit of it so you can see better. And that's kind of like a minister of Christ, or that's what we do, is just polish that mirror so people can see and be in the presence of God. And so I'm going to close with First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And actually, I'm gonna back up to Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And the reason I'm saying, reading this verse is, I was at Costco and the other day, and also we were at the airport for a lengthy stay a couple weeks ago, and I just sat there wondering, you know, am I asking God to show me, is there somebody here that needs a miracle, or is there somebody here with an open heart? And so in Luke chapter 11, verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And to close out, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So I just, reflecting back to what it took God to get me to this place, and now, you know, we're fellow laborers together as one body and with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we get to plant and water and see God at work. So Thank you so much, and God bless you.